Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary super intelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of cheap fun.
I don't want your life.
No. Get on your knees. It's wonderful.
I've got the poop in my hands. Just Google largest penis in the world and the dude pops up. I love dong news. You can also get the power snatch. Would I have to lay on the naked guy the entire flight? They are going to rock your ass.
Take off your shorts and throw me. Take off your shorts and dunk me.
I don't know if this is racist, but it probably is. Have you ever had a grown man take your pants off?
But also, I think I'm awesome.
I give you two dudes swallowing wieners.
Are your balls jiggling?
America, yeah! Uneducated beer!
Wow. I do knew that. Wasn't that something?
What?
That was pretty good.
You like that one?
That was a doozy.
That was a doozy.
Thanks.
That was a buckle up.
I love our drops.
Yeah.
What would we do without them?
I don't know. We didn't have them for a while there.
I know.
Yeah, we went like, I don't know, it was like 7 or 8 months we didn't have them.
Great ass!
Yeah, I don't know.
And we make
what was that
you
like?
You got your head
I don't know.
All the way up it.
I try not to even think about it, you know? It's like we're in the midst of a bad breakup, and then, like, we didn't know what to do with ourselves, and we got a drinking problem. And
those were dark times.
We tried to fill it with, like, with weed and booze and whores, and it just didn't work.
What was that deal? Like, Crazy Eyes McGinley said forever it was, like, impossible or going to be really hard, and then one day, like, Joey just walked in and was like, here's how you do it.
That's right.
That is what happened. The Crazy Eyes McGinley had 2 feet out the door, and, yeah. Joey came in and was like, yeah, we can just do that tomorrow.
He jacked a granny today.
Wow.
Actually, I don't know that it was Joey, not to give him too much credit. It was the other guy who left.
Oh, was it Adam?
It was Adam. Yeah. Yeah, because once McGinley left, these are engineers, behind-the-scenes guys. Yeah. I love Joey. I want to snuggle with Joey. Once McGinley left, Crazy Eyes moved to Alabama or some crap.
Mm-hmm.
Adam took over, and I instantly asked him. He's like, oh, yeah, no problem. Here you go.
Yeah, right there. Yeah, it literally was done, like, in 24 hours. And we were all like, are you kidding me right now?
Are you kidding?
Are you kidding me?
And then here we are.
Boy's ass!
And it's like, it feels so good. And we'll never break up again, right? We learned our lesson.
Well, I really enjoy the show.
The other thing that
I love about
our show is we've been on... can I tell you how great our show is?
Please.
No, here's the other thing I love
about
our show.
Hold on, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I got a question.
Yes.
Hey, Isaac Ropp,
yes.
You've been doing this wonderful show for 20
yes.
years. How
yes.
do you manage to be so fantastic?
You know, that's a great question, Jason. I'm glad you asked that. One of the things is our great producers, and every new producer brings with him a new... set of drops.
Yeah.
Like the Mike Lynch drops, those archetypes were very different than what Buckley's bringing to the table.
It's like a new offensive coordinator.
Yes.
Like, right? There's
we're
new
running
wrinkles
a new
to
offense.
This offense
and
left
I love
and right.
It. I just love it.
Yeah, the goal is for you two to still be productive as an offense, but now it looks a little bit different.
Yeah.
Different motions, different sets.
Yeah. Yep.
And I dig it. And it keeps us
that's right.
Keeps us fresh. Keeps
Hop
fresh.
On this jaw, because Lord knows we aren't.
Keeps us moving. Sounds like really 20 years. Like,
yeah, he keeps. It's actually not been 20 years. It's been 17. Well, you know, next week is our anniversary.
Yeah, it's
you know that, right?
It's our your real wedding anniversary, and yes. Then your real anniversary.
Yeah, the 25th of September, I married my wife, and the 25th of September, I signed on the dotted line with my other wife, my work wife.
That's right.
Jason Skukinik. Mm-hmm. And
both beautiful creatures.
Which is crazy. Yes, you are, both of you. And I love you both dearly, even 20 years later or whatever it is. So that was 2005, right? So we're coming up on 19th year. We'll be rolling into our 19th year.
I thought we're rolling into our 20th after this, right?
Well, next September, right?
Aren't we? We're getting ready to cross the 19th year threshold, are we not?
We're about to do window math again.
That would be into our 20th year, correct?
Well, it's 2024, and we signed in 2005.
Yeah, so next year when we hit 2025, that'll be 20 years.
Yes,
right.
So we're rolling into our 19th year, beginning next week.
No. Oh. Right? Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
We will start our 20th year. Next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's not get ahead of ourselves. Okay.
Hey, we could get fired any day.
Okay, Jackwad.
Yeah. I mean, Lord knows.
Come on,
you freaking. Bitch! What was I going to tell you? Oh, he's going to go get him one of those Milwaukee butter hugs.
that one got me. I remember that one. That one absolutely got me.
I was going to tell you about the new top show on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, which I've seen.
And it's called The Perfect Couple.
Allow me to give it two thumbs. Meh.
Yeah, it's not very good.
No.
But I want to talk about it because, you know, these streaming services have a way of getting us to watch things, and they're pretty good at it.
Sure.
And that one...
And a lot of times it's just by putting it at
exactly.
number one or two.
If it's number one... Look, this is what I want to talk about. If it's number one, when you go to Netflix and you scroll, and I always go straight to the top 10. Like, what's everybody watching? Because that's kind of like what's trending.
Sure.
Whatever's number one... I assume it's good, and that is a terrible assumption.
Yeah, that you should not be doing.
See, I don't make that assumption because people are morons. So, but I will do is that if I see it at, I usually take a look at 1, 2, and 3. Right, the little cue that they did, whoever came up with that, it's the smartest idea Netflix.
It was genius.
They just put it up there, and what usually happens is one of two things. Either I'll be like this. Oh, people are talking about this. And that's what happened with this one. The BTJ was like, oh, everyone keeps talking about this show. And then that's where I do the ignorant thing where I'm like, well, it's in the top three. And everybody, which means like four people,
they're
like, oh, have you seen this show? And then you click on it. But what I like to do is I usually do a scan through, and whichever one is the most interesting to me off the little preview,
100%.
Then I will go there.
I agree with that. I did that chimp one was number one for a while.
Yeah.
And I started, that sucked.
Really?
Not interested
in
that.
I've been watching the chimp one.
I think that one's stupid, and those people are crazy. But so I turned that one off. But Perfect Couple I got through, and we are going to talk about it.
Yeah, let's go.
Next.
All right.
Well, the show Netflix wants us to watch now is called Presumed Innocent. That one was on Apple, and that was Jake Gyllenhaal.
That was very good.
Yeah, I liked that one.
It was good. Good murder mystery. The reason I thought of that and not this one, this one's called The Perfect Couple with Nicole Kidman.
Same thing.
And Liev Schreiber.
Murder mystery.
Yeah, they're both murder mysteries. This one is not very good, but at the very least, it has a murder mystery which keeps you watching.
Sure. I will say that...
And we will not spoil who...
No, but I will say I thought both shows, even though one way better than the other, I thought they both did a good job of not being easy giveaways.
Yeah, I mean, they throw you off the scent, and they make it so that every character could have done it. This one was a little bit more clunky, though. Like, the Perfect Couple is based off of a book, apparently, but I guess they changed the ending. So even if you read the book, you wouldn't know who did it. Presumed Innocent is a book, and, you know, if you read the book, you know who did it.
Yeah.
But anyway, Merritt is a hot, played by Megan Fahey, and she She was in White Lotus.
Can I say too
season
that
two.
One of my biggest rubs is this, and I don't like when movies do this.
They kill off the hots?
No. So they made it so everyone in the show was obsessed with her. She wasn't that hot. In order, the richest family, like one of the richest families on the Eastern Seaboard, is all obsessed with just some normal townie girl. Am I asking too much to make her hotter? I didn't like it. You're telling me.
I thought she looked great.
I almost feel like that's a Hollywood trope, though. Like they do that. It's like she just had that it factor, and nobody could put their finger on it. Like it doesn't mean it makes sense, but I feel like we've seen this.
That was my first rub. That was my initial thought. Was like really?
I mean, she was pretty hot.
Don't get me wrong, she's hot. But, like, was she obsessed over her entire rich family? Like, the Kennedys are obsessed over her? I could have used someone hotter. I say that was my first rub.
She gets killed. You know what my first rub is? That angry a-hole brother who looks like...
Yeah, I know you're talking
about. Who looks like... Who's the funny weed-smoking guy?
Seth Rogen?
He looks like Seth Rogen.
Sure.
That was the worst character I have seen on TV in years. Nobody acts like that.
I don't know.
That was so over the top and stupid. He's like look, I get it. Rich people are a-holes.
Yeah.
And that's what White Lotus plays on, is they play off of rich people being awful. And that's what this is. They're all awful.
Yeah.
But, my God, that character was over the top.
I thought the whole thing was over the top. It was like...
It's stupid.
It's like every rich person stereotype.
Yes.
The whole thing.
And Nicole Kidman's face...
Yeah, well...
I had to go to Google...
Yeah. To see what she used to look like?
Well, yes. It's actually pretty jarring. If you go back and look what she used to look like...
Yeah.
If you see the side-by-side, like, she looks completely different. There are so many people saying how great she looks now... I don't see it. I think her plastic surgery has... She's a tough watch. She's a great actress.
Yeah.
But, dude, I don't know what you think.
Well...
It's hard to look at her.
Yeah, well, because her face can't move.
I'm not sure, is she a great actress?
She plays
like, intense and, like... concerned, but like, I don't know. I feel like she kind of plays the same thing in a lot of stuff.
She does kind of play the same thing in a lot of stuff. I think she's good, yeah.
I think she's good at doing that.
And Leave is good in this.
He was the only thing about it that I liked.
And you know, the daughter who was getting married, do you know who that is?
I do not.
Her name, she plays a character named Amelia in the show. Mm-hmm. That is Bono's daughter.
Get right the hell out of town.
Of
I'm
you
sure
too.
There's no nepotism there, because she was terrible in it as well.
Am I bugging you, Ron?
I don't know. I thought the whole thing was meh. I didn't understand how that became like the hit where everyone was talking about it.
That's where I think... I mean, it's easy to understand. It's a murder mystery, easy to follow, only 6 episodes. You know, people eat that up. And then Nicole Kidman and Liev Schreiber. I mean, that's it.
And he is great. I did like... He was the only character that I liked. I did enjoy him because he was the only believable rich guy because he didn't care about anything that happened.
He just smoked a bunch of weed.
He smoked a bunch of weed and banged a bunch of hots. And he was like, oh, what do you want from me? I'm rich. As the only likable character in that entire thing anyone could relate to.
It has 63% on Rotten Tomatoes, which made me feel better because I was... See, I'm foolish to think that the number one trending show on Netflix is good.
It's automatically good.
Yeah, and so I think what got me was Kidman and the cast, and I was like, wow, this, you know, I bet this is really good because, I mean, they're accomplished actors and actresses, it's a good cast. And,
sure. I've learned not to trust.
So
the,
then when I went to when I went to Rotten Tomatoes, I was happy because in my head I was like, man, this show kind of sucks, and that. Bro character can die. And I wanted to see, I'm like, is this really getting all these great reviews? And it's really not.
Yeah.
It's not. It's at 63%.
All right. Well, that is better. It's just, I don't know, there was buzz. There was buzz about it.
I mean,
it's weird how shows get buzz.
It's a watchable show. It really is. I mean, because again, it's a murder mystery, yeah, so you'll watch it to the end and find out who kills her.
I got roped in because the BTJ wanted to watch it, and then once you're about two episodes in, then I will say that it kind of annoyed me because then I wanted to finish it. And it wasn't that many episodes, right?
It's six.
Six. And this also it goes to prove something to me. If you want to get me to watch something, 4 to 6 episodes is the perfect amount. Because if you give me 10, say if something starts off and it's like lukewarm, and this wasn't great when I started watching it, right? I was like, it's all right. But I gave it like 2 episodes.
And you know that the end's not very far away.
Yeah, and I know it's not very far. After the first 2 episodes, if I had looked and that thing had been 10 or 12 episodes, I would have bailed and been like, nah, I'm out. But when I see that it's like 6, I'm like, oh, and then you watch one more, and now you might as well finish it towards the end.
Now, do you guys think that, because this trend has been moving in this way more and more, like, I feel like HBO started with the whole 13 and 12 episode seasons, and then you get the miniseries that are down to like 6 episodes or 4. You go back to old series, they're like 20 episode seasons, 24 episode seasons. Is this like Hollywood just realizing we have way shorter attention spans, or can they pump out more because they're not doing as many episodes?
I think hopefully we've come to the conclusion that unless you have something really good, like a really good writing team, and even then you can't. Like Game of Thrones was the perfect example of this. You had a S ton of material to work off of, and when you were working through that material, it was great. But the moment the material ran out and you actually had to rely on real like different people to write it, that thing immediately went in the tank.
Well, and even that. It was 13 episodes. Can you imagine if they were in the mid-90s trying to do 26 episodes of season 1 of Game of Thrones? It would have been
just
awful.
There's just not enough. That's my biggest problem with TV and why to this day I still prefer movies over TV is I would rather have something be 2 hours long and feel like it's a little crammed in and be like, I wish they would have fleshed out that character a little bit than what they do in TV series where they stretch something out, especially when it's a hit, and they stretch it out. And that thing should have ended after a season, maybe two, or should have ended after 6 episodes and it goes to 12. And it just ends up being the number of series that I end up quitting that at one time were good or they get so embarrassingly bad. Dexter may be the best example.
Dexter's a great example of that. Weeds is another really good example of that.
Yeah, both of those shows were really, really good. And then after like 4 or 5 seasons, they just ran out of stuff.
But they were too popular to quit, and the showrunners didn't have the... And I feel like that's what's also changed. We used to have a thing where the creators would be like, no, I'm not putting out garbage just because you guys want a new contract. The story has to be done. And now they're like, you're going to give me how many million? Yeah, I'll write another.
Yeah, Yellowstone for the first 2 seasons was the most popular show on TV, and then it just went literally to hell. Even Kevin Costner got tired of it. Kevin Costner was making $1 million an episode. I was like, yeah, I can't do this anymore. This show sucks. I don't care. I'll go flop a movie as opposed to keep doing this. And that's so that like when you give me 6 to 8 episodes, I'm all about it. And I also love the ones like Fargo where they do independent seasons.
Yes.
Because again, now I don't have to worry about stretching from one to the next. This last season of Fargo with John Hamm, it's great. Self-contained. Like, and then if you get a couple episodes in and it sucks, you just bail on it. And you're like, all right, this season wasn't very good. I didn't like the Chris Rock season of Fargo. I'll pick it up and I'll catch the next one down.
Well, The Perfect Couple is unfunny, and it's a less interesting White Lotus, but it has White Lotus vibes. You know, there is another murder mystery that's out there right now with Vince Vaughn in it. And again, Vince Vaughn got me to watch this, and it is not great.
So I read
Bad
this
monkey.
I
Bad
read
monkey.
This book a while back on a trip to because it takes place in the Florida Keys and I was going to the Florida Keys. I'm like, oh, it'd be fun to read a book that takes place there. I thought the book was great. I turned on the series and it's like, oh, it's not.
It's not. Great.
I wanted it to be really good.
He's great.
Bad
and
monkey,
he's good.
No good,
at,
huh?
It's. I mean,
it's just. I don't know. It's a little bit too cheesy.
Yeah.
And like,
give it a shot, but you.
I think the story was really good, but when I turned it on as a TV show, it wasn't as compelling as it was as a book.
Yeah. It's not that great.
Hmm.
But I love me some Vince Vaughn. And yes, he is very Vince Vaughn-y in it.
Yeah, well, Vince Vaughn usually
it's
is
just
Vince Vaughn.
The typical Vince Vaughn character.
Have you ever heard Vince Vaughn in a long-form interview? That's just him. And I love Vince Vaughn. Watch, I know you don't watch it, but Hot Ones, where they do the Hot Wings Challenge. I really like that show. It's like 30 minutes. Easy fodder if you just want to kill 30 minutes. Watch the Vince Vaughn episode, and I'm telling you, like, it's just Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn's character in all of those movies, he's
just
not
him
acting.
Being himself.
It's just who he is, and I love him. Vince Vaughn, if I had to pick like top three Hollywood people that I want to sit down and hang out with and not have a conversation about Hollywood, just hang out with, Vince Vaughn is in my top three. Vince Vaughn, you are going to have a kick-ass time with that dude.
All right, up next, we had a cataclysmic event last year, and no one witnessed it. Here's Buck.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I have concepts of a plan.
Here's a wild story. I saw this while perusing one of my favorite websites, studyfinds.org.
Love a good study finds.
I'm not sure why it's on study finds, but it is.
Sure.
That's where I saw this. I didn't see it anywhere else.
You wouldn't find it anywhere else.
Yeah, because it's not a study, but whatever.
Just rampant speculation. This show is, that's what this is all about.
A tsunami taller than the Tower of Pisa.
I have no idea how tall that is, but okay.
A fjord transformed into nature's bathtub and the entire earth vibrating like a tuning fork for over a week.
Okay. Talk to me, Goose. What do we got?
That might sound like the plot of a disaster movie, but it's the reality of an extraordinary event that unfolded in Greenland this time last year, leaving scientists scrambling for explanations.
Interesting. I kind of want to check out Greenland. I've done Iceland, and I kind of want to hop over and see what Greenland has about, but apparently I don't.
On September 16th, 2023, a colossal mountain peak in the pristine wilderness of East Greenland crumbled into a remote fjord, unleashing a tremendous chain of events. And this wasn't just any landslide. It was a climate change-induced catastrophe that shook the Earth for an astonishing 9 days.
Whatever, climate change is a bunch of liberal BS, Rob. It's you trying to push your agenda on me.
Seismologists around the world detected an unusual signal rippling through the Earth's crust. Unlike the typical rumbles and pings of earthquakes, this vibration sang a monotonous hum at a single frequency.
Oh, yeah, I see it right here.
It persisted for days, traveling from the Arctic to Antarctica, leaving experts scratching their heads. They dubbed it an unidentified seismic object, USO. And you say, see it right there. There is no video of it.
Well, no, I see the...
Which is terrible.
I see the fjord.
No, I understand. I'm just saying that if for those wanting... quickly going to Google to see what this looked like. There is no video of it. Nobody saw it. There was no recording of it.
You just see where there was once a fjord and now no fjord.
High above Dixon's Fjord.
it's no longer, though. It's just Dixon's, like, You can't have a fjord when it's filled in.
The mountain peak had been slowly destabilizing. As climate change caused the glacier at its basin to thin, the rocky face lost its support. 25 million cubic meters of rock and ice, enough to fill 10,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools, came crashing down into the fjord.
Yeah, you can see the before and you can see the after, and there's just...
nothing.
There's a big hunk of mountain that isn't there anymore.
Yeah. The impact, described in the Journal of Science, was cataclysmic. A wall of water shot 656 feet into the air.
Holy balls.
Nearly as tall as the Golden Gate Bridge, a tsunami wave up to about 360 feet surged across the fjord, gradually settling into a rhythmic sloshing motion known as Psyche.
It's like when you see, like, those disaster, like, AI, you know, like, hey, this is what it would look like when the big one hits, and you just see a 300-foot wall of water coming to the Oregon coast. Imagine you're just there in Greenland doing some cool Greenland hiking or whatever, and then you just look up, and you're like, well, I'm effed. That's, thanks, everybody. You just kind of take a bow and wait for that thing to hit you.
What makes this event truly remarkable is how long this sloshing persisted. It maintained a nearly constant frequency, gradually decreasing in amplitude over 9 days. This means that the water in the fjord was oscillating back and forth, completing one full cycle about every 92 seconds for 9 days.
Jeez. And we still have no idea what happened here. Just a mountain fell.
Well, yeah. They said that it was climate change.
I don't even know, but... like
Because the glacier at its basin was thinner, and so it was melting. And therefore... the base crumbled. The base allowed the top to crumble. Hmm. The rocky face lost its support base, is what it said there, Jason.
Well, I thought you were saying at the beginning that they didn't know why this happened.
But no, they know why it happens. Why it happened. They just don't. Nobody saw it, and they didn't at the time have any idea what that was. They were just seeing it on the site. It was registering on the
seismograph.
And they're like, hey, what's this?
Well, I'm guessing
come take a look at this.
I'm guessing having a mountain fall is probably a fairly significant thing. So note to self, don't go to Greenland. They've got collapsing mountains.
But I'm sorry. I want video of this.
I don't think you're going to get it.
Well, it doesn't exist. But I'm just saying, like, if there were, I would be fascinated to see this video.
Unfortunately, I'm guessing that there's not a lot of cameras set up around remote places in Greenland. You know, it goes to show, or I guess it's a good thing that there are still some things out there that aren't being filmed. Wouldn't that be something if there's just like every fjord in Greenland had a camera on it? And you're like, oh, check it out. Maybe the CIA is spying on Greenland and they have some sort of thermal image of this. But yes, I too would like to see a mountain collapse into a fjord. I think that'd be pretty crazy. But it is weird that that is on studyfinds.org and is clearly not a study.
Yeah, they have a camera on a fjord, and all of a sudden there's O.J. Simpson running around out there.
What? Well, imagine like if like a big hunk of Mount Hood just fell. Like, it just was gone one day. No eruption or anything. It just kind of, bloop, gone. Because that's what it looks like in the in like the side-by-side photos of it. Just the big top of the mountain's gone. The Earth is a fascinating place.
Apparently there was a research base down there. And it did destroy it, but luckily no one was there.
Oh.
And that's where I thought maybe there'd be cameras, but cameras. It's but all destroyed.
If there were, you know, I'm guessing that those cameras are long gone.
They could have put the recordings in the cloud, you know, maybe.
Can you dig a mountain out to get recordings of that?
They're also saying tourist cruise ships sometimes frequent the areas, these waters, but there were none there. Mm.
Again, that'd be kind of a cool thing.
They'd all be dead, but...
Oh. God,
maybe we'd
probably capsize that whole damn cruise ship.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it. I was like, how sweet would that be? You're on a cruise ship, and then you get to see that, but also not cool if you get hit with the 600-foot wall of water.
But if I told you that that's the way you were going to go, like you knew you were going to go, isn't that kind of a cool way to go?
Is it?
Well, I mean, you got
to
go.
I mean, look, it's got some flair to it. Don't get me wrong.
I don't know.
I think the panic of being on a ship with thousands of people that's about to flip over does not sound great. Very Titanic-esque.
Well, I don't think the ship flipping over, I think, again, it's just the weight of the 600-foot wall of water. My guess is you just get crushed.
Yeah, maybe not.
I have always said that I, like, in a moment of that, like, whenever you see, like, the, You ever see the disaster movie or whatever where just like the wall of water or fire or whatever is coming your way? I do kind of appreciate the person that just like kind of holds hands and is like, well, this is going down. I guess there's an inevitable, what would I say, the inevitable nature of it. Like, it's just,
yeah. You get to see it.
Yeah. I guess if that's the last thing, if whatever the last thing you get to see, seeing an event like that, I'm with you. I'm guessing that there are probably a lot worse ways to go. Maybe your final, what was the final word? Like OS, you know, I don't know. I don't know what you say in that. Like, it's been a good run.
It's a double rainbow. Remember that guy?
Yeah. Well, like someone said here, like the band on the Titanic. Now, in some ways, I find that idiotic because there were lifeboats, right? And I understand that not everyone could get on the lifeboats.
The band, like they were still sitting there playing?
They were still sitting there playing.
Yeah.
So, to some extent, I'm like, dude, no, I'm getting on one of those lifeboats. I'm getting on one of those tables. I'm not going out like that because there does seem to be some sort of hope. If a ship was sinking, I wouldn't just accept the fact that, well, I'm going to die. It's not like there was a 600-foot wall of water coming at me.
You could ride a door.
Yeah, right? Kick that bitch off to the side a little bit and climb up on there, Rose. There's room for both of us. Like, I'm finding a way off that boat, or at least trying. Now, if you told me that there was no, like my options are exhausted. Right? Like, there's no lifeboats, no nothing. Maybe there's electric cars and sharks in the water, as a stable genius once told me, that I'm dead either way. Right? If that was happening, then yes, I think there is something noble and beautiful about playing, I don't know, Chopin or whatever, or you know, playing some sort of, do the wedding march. Whatever you're playing, Cannonball and D or whatever. Like, just to play that as it goes down, yes, I find that beautiful. Like, that's your final moments, and instead of being a panicked a-hole running around and, I don't know, doing some last-second prayer to someone that's not listening anyways, just play the violin as you go down. I think that's kind of badass. Like you said, we all have to go, and that guy or that band went out with some style. That's a tip of the cap. I think that's a kick-ass way to go.
You did say Cannonball and
whatever
D.
That is. what is the wedding march?
Cannon in D.
Cannon in D.
Yeah, not cannon. Cannonball.
Cannonball.
But close.
I do knew that.
I liked that.
Maybe doing the Star Wars, dun 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 dun. I don't know. Play something cool.
It would just be so amazing to see right before it crushed you.
Yes.
You know?
Well, I think about it. Who was the bro on Mount St. Helens that refused to go?
Yeah.
Right?
Is that Harry Truman.
Same sort of thing, right? He's just...
He probably saw some cool stuff before he
that
died.
That guy just sat there and was like, holy F.
But I'm not... Is that a different death, though? Like, are you... That might be a little more... Like, there's a chance he gets buried alive right there. Whereas with the one we're talking about, you're done in 10 different ways.
Well, I mean,
am I wrong?
I bet this guy died faster.
We think.
The Truman died faster than this.
You think so?
Yeah.
How so?
The amount of force and everything coming down that mountain, dude, that crushed you like a bug. That is an insect hitting a windshield at 120.
Well, I mean, this is a 650-foot wall of water.
Yeah, that's a volcanic explosion. Like, there's no,
I mean, they're both.
Yeah, either way. Like, you're done.
But so. I just thought maybe, you know, he's in his house, he gets buried, and then he's just in there. He's like, hey!
I'm in here!
Hey!
Yeah. If I had to choose, I think I would take the volcano.
Because that would suck. Oh, you would?
Yeah.
No, I'd do the...
You do the water?
Oh, yeah. I just want to see it. Because, yeah. Well, I mean, that's just...
Like, the water is incredible, but I can only imagine what being, like, up underneath that, like, looking up at the...
Yeah.
One had a mountain falling, the other had a mountain exploding, then falling. I'm taking the explosion.
So someone texting in about Harry Truman dying up there at Mount St. Helens. The pyroclastic flow.
Ooh, good term.
Reached speeds of over 300 miles per hour and temperatures exceeding 660 degrees Fahrenheit, incinerating anything in their path. Would you rather die that way or a 656-foot wall of water?
See, again, I think I'm just taking the volcano.
Okay.
I just think seeing that explode up close, you know. And at that point, too, you know, get out my pub beer helmet, put a couple of those bad boys in there, you know. Just kind of sit there and whistle a tune and wait for that thing to come
see. See, I think seeing the wall of water would be cooler, but let's just say you don't see either. You just have to die one of those two ways.
Yeah.
Are you still taking the volcano?
I am, because I just think it's... Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. I think it's both.
I think they're both fast. Like, really fast.
It's a movie.
But I think... Don't you think it would be more terrifying to have fire coming at you really fast than a giant wall of water? I mean, I don't know. I guess I don't want to find out.
I think I'd poop my pants either way. But at that point, again, I've already accepted my fate.
Do you do a swan dive into the, lava?
I think maybe. Like, you do the... You just start running towards it. You're like, I'm coming for you! Again, have some fun with it. It's your last moment on Earth.
Yeah, be a little cheeky.
Exactly.
You got to get the likes on the gram.
Maybe if the wall of water, do like a crane kick into it. You know, like you're going to face it down. You know, Karate Kid style.
Quick selfie right before it swallows you.
Let's wait for it.
Yeah. All right. Great show. We're back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night. Become Johnny with the power and the glory. Red ships of Spain.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.